Right, excellent, man. Tell you what a day already. Feeling good. We're so glad. If you're a guest here, you're here checking us out. We're so glad you are. We are. That's what we do. We just prepare for your arrival, but we're also here to build some synergy and energy around our tribes. What we call our small groups are called tribes, and so that's what outside is all about. We're feeding off of something that you already are accustomed to—the Super Bowl, right? And so we're just taking the energy and we're bringing it in into the house. But we also have our Vision Sunday, and so I don't think it's by chance that you just stumbled into these doors or you've been attending this year since January or late December, because I know the Holy Spirit leads us and guides us, and I know He also has our best interest in mind and in heart. And so when He leads us to a house that He wants us to invest in, and knowing that that house will too invest in you, because here we know that we are built around helping every person become all God created them to be. And that means it's a partnership. It's a partnership in life. It's a partnership in growth and health and ministry and discipleship. And so we are collaborating to make God's kingdom better, not just ours, not our own kingdom. We're here to grow the church, His bride, and extend with influence, great influence, the kingdom of God so everybody can reap the rewards of heaven here on earth. Amen? And I think you got to introduce that this morning. Wasn't worship amazing? We're talking about Vision Sunday, you know, and so there it is, Vision Sunday. So you know that what comes with vision is being able to see into the future. You have to be able to see into the future. And not everybody naturally carries vision. We understand that. We grasp that. God has gifted some with excelled vision. And in that way, He can help impart vision. He gives us a heart, some intuition, some inclination in a direction, which we know to be, as we lean into it, become vision for our lives. And what you saw today, we had our youth up here with our regular Thrive Worship team. And what you see is vision. That's what the future looks like. In fact, that's what the future looks like in this room right here, because we're in borrowed time and borrowed space, right? You know, life is borrowed. You know, we're just borrowing it from the Lord, but we're also in borrowed space, because this is actually the youth building. This is the youth and the kids. This is the next generation building. And they're sitting there stomping their feet wondering when we're going to get out of their building. We're in their way right now. And so the explosion can't happen. It will implode if we don't get out of their way. And so that's all about vision. We have to have vision. Vision wakes you up at night. Vision wakes you up in the morning. Vision connected with purpose drives you. It causes you to do the difficult things. It causes you to seek through and continue to persevere through difficult seasons and scenarios. Vision and purpose is what drives humanity. Why? Because, especially if it's God-given vision, then it always leads to an eternal value outside of our own personal lives, temporal lives. And so that's what we're here, what we're all about. We see a vision for this county and beyond. We see a vision of what God is doing and wanting to do. And so He stirs us up. He almost puts a passion, a burning desire to move things forward with friction, because not everything moves forward at the pace of leadership. And so there's a tension, there's a friction, there's a gravitational pull that creates this when visionaries are moving life forward at sometimes an unreasonable pace or non-understandable pace. And so that's what we're here to cast vision, to help you see vision, to help you understand the vision, because vision leads. Vision leads everything. But here's the other part about vision. Vision also leaks. And so because vision leaks, we have to be reminded of vision. We have to cast vision over and over and over. If you have children, you have to continually cast vision on what obedience looks like, on what discipline looks like. They don't just get it the first time, even with a SWAT connected to it. it just doesn't set in right off the bat. And they don't just get into alignment. And they don't just say, yes, let's do that thing because they know it's better for them. They still struggle to understand how this direction that you're leading them is better than what they are settling for. And sometimes that's what we're here to do, is to lead God's people in the direction that he is giving us intuition and insight towards, so that we can plow fields that have not yet plowed. And sometimes it's a difficult thing to accept because we may not see it or quite understand how those changes will benefit us better than the way I'm currently living. Healthy things grow. That's you, hopefully. If you're in a healthy, fertile environment, you should be growing. And if not, then maybe there's some tilling up in your soul that needs to take place so that you can grow. You can become healthy. Healthy things grow. Growing things change. Oh, here's the next part. Change has pain connected to it. And because of life and sometimes upbringing in our life, we have painful memories, and so anything connected with pain, we try to avoid. Well, sadly, we end up avoiding or navigating our lives away from change because it has pain. But the problem with that is we don't grow, and we never become healthy. And so if you're in pain, good news, because it's because you're becoming healthy and growing. This is good news. If you didn't know, that doesn't sound good to me. But once you endure and persevere and get on the other side of it, you're like, man, not only was that not as hard as you thought it was going to be, but also you have more vision and clarity and peace with joy in your life in general. And so it's worth it. You know, nobody wants to stay because, you know, if you're going to grow, there's got to be some. You ever seen that the boy or the kids where, man, they hit summer, and parents, mom and dad, know they buy clothes just before the next school year, and by the end of summer, little Johnny's jeans are now capri pants, but mama's not buying because he may still get, you know, it's like that. Some of you are wearing capri pants, and it's time for you to change some things. Like, you're avoiding the pain, but it's awkward for everybody else. You know what I mean? Like, just make the change, all right? So today, it is truly a time. Come on, work with me today. It's a time to change. Yvette, you're going to have to take over, all right? It is a time to seek, to discover, and to truly respond. And so it is important that we have God's vision in our lives, that we learn how to spend time with God, embrace what he is doing, and then be able to bring it down to earth in bite-sized pieces into our lives. This is what happens in our devotion time, right? We're hearing from the Lord. We're spending time with the Lord. We're allowing him to challenge our thoughts and read our hearts and rewrite our ambitions and our desires and our motives and our attitudes and our character. He starts to shape vision into our lives. Well, Proverbs 29:18, if we can ever get it up here, Proverbs 29:18 will tell you, where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint. Like, if I don't have a revelation of what God is doing, then I have no clue what I'm doing or what I should be doing. In the ASV version, it says, where there is no vision, the people will cast off restraint. Can I just tell you two parts to that? When we don't have vision and leadership, then people are just crazy and all over the place. It's just wild. If there's not healthy leadership that has vision for the future, then the city is chaos. The town is chaos. The house is chaos. If we don't have parents who have vision for their family, the kids are in chaos. And so it comes down to a personal level that if I'm not carrying vision, embracing vision, then I'm going to live unrestrained. I'm going to live just all over the place. I will have no clear direction for my life. I will have no clear focus. And that means that I won't be able to have boundaries for my life. My yeses won't be clear and my noes won't be clear. And many of us live like that. And it feels like we have no traction in life. And it feels like we're not living the fulfilled life. It feels like I just can't find purpose for my life. But if I can tell you this one simple truth, it is if you'll just catch vision from the Lord on a general basis, down to a personal basis, to your communal basis, whatever that is, family, friends, any relationships, definitely in your church, then you will begin to have and shape your heart and your mind around vision that God is providing so that you will have clarity in your decision-making. You will be able to walk with boldness, with confidence, with a little bit of an extra strut, a little bit of swagger, because you know who you are, and you know where you're going, and you know what God's called you to, so your yeses are clear and your noes already fall in place. This is vision. This is how we have to live. And so we can't give up time living unrestrained lives and all over the place. We've got to have some guardrails. We've got to have some things that, you know what, nope, it's just already decided. Here's what I do, here's what I don't do, here's what I'm going to do, here's what my future looks like as much as I can, so by God allows me to understand it and see it, but I'm going to keep plowing forward towards it, and I'm going to keep navigating my decision-making around what I'm seeing God do into the future while I'm living it right now. This is vision. And this is what we're asking you to catch, not only for your own life, but in this house, because we believe that God has called you to be in this house, that the Holy Spirit has led you into this place, and he didn't do it to be unrestrained. He didn't call you here to be restrained in an unhealthy way, but to be liberated, to be set free, to become all that he's created you to be. And that's what we're here for. And so I want to give you some of these vision fulfillment things. We've talked about in 2023, 2022, we have cast vision, and I want to give you a little feedback on some things. Some of the things that we've fulfilled in this house has been our Thrive Leadership School. We're well into, past our first year, now we're in second semester of first 2 years. First full round of four semesters. Now we're halfway through the second round. This is huge because we are producing a lot of leaders. I'll give you some metrics in a minute. The Thrive School of Supernatural Ministry, our beta year is being complete right now, and we'll kick off an actual first year again in the fall. We've run the tests. We're making tweaks and additions and adjustments. And then we're ready to launch that again. And TSSM is really just teaching you how to live the normal Christian life. And TLS, Thrive Leadership School, is just teaching you how to be a good self-leader, how to lead yourself first, and then lead into the areas, arenas that God has given you influence in. Maybe it's in the marketplace. Maybe it is in ministry. Wherever you go, you are developing skills, hearing testimonies all the time. I didn't know if this was going to be good for me, but I realized even in my home life, one guy was just telling me before I came into the service, even in my home life, in my business, these little principles put into place just become natural in how I live out and lead out. That's what it's all about. You being you, a better you, the best version of you. But you have to put work to it, and you have to commit to it, and you have to keep it going. The Healthy Next Generation Ministry, check. Kids ministry to youth ministry. Our next gen is on fire right now. Check. Getting it. Our Thrive Cafe missions, thriving. I mean, it is. We are now, right now, there are the fathers of the families, the kids in a mountain village in San Rafael in Honduras, Copan Ruinas. Right now, I mean, present day, they are building a perimeter for a safer environment and to keep animals out so that their kids can learn while they're in school. In the time we've been ministering and helping through our cafe and your extra giving, that school has gone from 62 kids, I believe it was, to now 150 kids. And yes, that is huge. And at that time, it was only a sixth grade level, because in some of these rural areas, sixth grade was the usual, the education level. Now, this particular school not only has nine grades in because of your work there, they've also have added a high school for 10, 11, and 12th grade down just over the mountain. So this is good news. This is huge. Our international missions is kicking off. Kenya, we put a water well in. That's huge. And not only, this was the first time that the Kenyan government partnered with the organization to split it in half. So God actually stepped in and provided. So we said, we're going to do it. And then later, the government said, okay, we're going to take on half of that. And so God literally provided, he met you dollar for dollar on everything that you decided that you were going to give towards the water well. You see how that works? This is kingdom. This is how God moves. But you know how God moves? We have to do something first. When you do something, when you start to put faith to something, whatever God is leading you, we've been talking about lordship. Some of it's just the basic practices and principles and disciplines of being a Christ follower. We've covered several of those things, from thought life, from treasures to talents to those around you, the trusted ones around you. Who are they? And today is about your Thrive family, like having vision and having commitment to your Thrive family as well. And so, pastoral network, I'm telling you, this week, I told you a couple weeks ago, we were going to minister, coach, train, hopefully 75 to 80 pastors. We had 75 pastors this past week in Honduras that were hyper engaged. In fact, not only that, they're demanding that we come back and do a next step of coaching with them because they caught vision of what we're doing and trying to help them have healthier churches. And instead of fighting over anything, they said, listen, we need the next step. We need the next phase of this. And it is just the pastor we work with, they had lit up his phone saying, when are they coming back? When are we going to do this again? What is the next step? How do we get more of this? This is huge. This is huge. I am lit up because that's my jam right there. I love leadership, and I love when leaders want to learn and want to grow and find strategy because healthy things grow, growing things change. Change has pains, and these people are ready for the pains that it requires to become healthy. I hope you are too. And then our Israel tour ministries have just been taken off. We're going back. We're doing an Exodus tour, Egypt, Jordan, and Israel in 2026, February into March of 2026. Be ready for that as well. And so we have a lot. This week, I'm kind of touting my tribe here a little bit. This week, we have a tribe we're kicking off. It's our Kingdom Builders tribe. It's at 5:15 a.m. You know you've got to want it to be there at 5:15 a.m. 22 people have signed up for a 5:15 a.m. in the Wednesday morning tribe. Come on, somebody just give it up for that. That is, I can't wait. My partner and I, Alex Aguilar, he's not able to be here today, but he is lit up. We're so excited. Why? Because we know healthy things grow, and we want to see the marketplace leadership grow in health, and we're here to walk those things out with them. So this is good news. This is good news. This is my jam. I told y'all a few weeks ago, I'm like Taylor Swift. I'm tired of hearing her name, but Taylor Swift, she has her eras, the love era, this era. I'm in my kingdom building era. I want to do life with people who want to make a difference in the kingdom of God. I am lit up on that. Well, hey, as Chris told you, you saw that we have a celebration. Our anniversary is coming up. We're turning 8 on March 9th is our celebration. March 19th is the actual day of our 8-year anniversary. But March 9th at 10 a.m., one service. We're going to have a fun day, a lot of fun activities. It is going to be a blast together with our family. And I want to remind you, too, of our Thrive mission. Our Thrive mission is loving people where they are and helping them become all God created them to be. And we're going to love you right no matter where you are in the walk of life that you're in as you come into this place. We're going to meet you right there, but we're going to love you into all God created you to be. And everything that I've already talked about is how we love people in the direction that God created you to be and them to be. And how many knows that's not always easy, right? It's not always easy. We are lovingly pushing people past their normal and natural boundaries so that they can have the smudge of yesterday, so we can have the smudge of yesterday wiped away so that we can truly walk in our God-given identity. And that doesn't come naturally. It comes with a lot of work. It comes with tears. It comes with a lot of conversations, a lot of developmental conversations, some sit down, some prayers, some laying on of hands, some I don't know if I can do this, but get back up and attaboy it type things. You know what I mean? That's what it takes. Life isn't easy. But it's not easy staying where you are either. So I tell all the 75 pastors this week, choose your hard. It's going to be hard no matter what. I'd rather be hard on the way to growth, a hard life on the way to growth, than a hard life just sitting there not growing at all and staying the same. Do I have some people with me? Because it's going to be uncomfortable for you if you're not that. So anyway, let me give you a few other fun facts here. I'm going to switch pages on my, if I can. Here we go. I got it. Normally don't do this. In our global missions impact, we actually supported building a bridge in Burma where there is it's kind of a underground community that is always under attack from its own government, its own government's army. And so we helped. They had a bridge washout where they live. And so you guys, $8,000 we provided to help build a welded bridge instead of a bamboo bridge in place so that they can have their normal civilization. Brazil this year, we sent 12 people. There was 12 people that went to Brazil and doing ministry work. 21 people in October, we went to Honduras on a mission trip. We funded, as I said, we talked about the fence that we're funding. We've donated $5,000 to Israel to help them to rebuild through their current times. Like I said about Kenya, locally, we sent $10,000 over to the Christian Academy here to help them with their gymnasium. We are making an impact around this earth. Recovery support, we provided $2,000 to one of our local ministries for sober recovery. We sponsored $5,000 in scholarship for a ministry for men, and then there's some for women. It's called Fellowship of the Sword. And if you've never heard of that or gone there, it is life-changing. You want to really go through some kind of scraping of your soul and being revived and set free and really finding out who you really are in Christ, Fellowship of the Sword, I highly encourage you to go there. And in our Thrive Leadership School, we had 51 emerging leaders through last year alone, 24. 2024, 51. That's huge. That is huge. And Thrive School of Supernatural Ministry, we launched it with 14 people, and we scholarshiped through Highlands College as well, another young adult in our church. Lives transformed, salvations. We had over 25 that let us know that they gave their lives to Christ last year. That is huge. That is huge. In rededications, we had 30 more people in rededications saying they're recommitting their faith to Jesus. And 38 baptisms publicly last year. Child dedications, we had 3 dedications, over 35 documented healings in this house. Fun. And part of having vision and understanding the needs for the future is we had over 350, when it comes to prayer and counseling sessions, 350 events of praying for people and counseling occasions here in this house. This house stays busy during the week with counseling and freedom sessions, so it's busy. Our Thrive Tribes last year had more than 235 people that signed up is today, by the way. In our Freedom Conference, we had 131 attending. In Emotional Health Tribe, we had 30 participants. This is a small group, kind of a closed small group of people. And then our Next Steps classes, we had 64 people going through that. There's a lot. I'm telling you, there's a lot of great metrics. If you got if you gave last year, any form of financial, you would have gotten a document based on this. You could pull that. Please read over the metrics. I want you to pray over those metrics and say, Lord, double it. Double it, double it, double it, and let's do the work of the ministry here in this house. And so I want to tell you four steps. This is going to work. four steps of God's journey for you. And the first one always starts with being introduced to the real Jesus. What we've been talking about in Lordship is understanding what it means to have Lordship, truly yielding to His Lordship in our lives so that we can bear the fruit that He desires to produce in our lives. We have to position ourselves for blessing. He causes the fruit to grow. We just bear it. Bear it means to hold it. I hold it because I'm positioned in the right place for it, and I position myself by having lordship. I position myself under His lordship, and that comes with thoughts. It comes with treasures. It comes with talents. It comes with the trusted people around me. It comes with my time being stewarded well for His glory and not my own, and it also comes with being a part of a thriving, a community, a family in the body of Christ as well, and then finding freedom, connecting to purpose, and making a difference. What we like to call this is something like metamorphosis, or we call it transformation. Metamorphosis is this. It's the change of the form of or nature of a thing or person into a completely different one, or natural, by natural or supernatural means. That's you. So you come to Christ looking one way, but the whole purpose is for you to go through a process of metamorphosis, transformation, so you actually look nothing like what you used to be. And somewhere inside of us, we struggle with the metamorphosis process, and instead of transforming, we try to hold on to who we used to be. And God is saying, I need you to honor those things, grieve some of those things, release some of those things, allow Him to transform those things, and then He redeems the time wasted outside of Christ. He redeems it with an empowerment to utilize what you have gained and learned, what you have been through, the wisdom from experience, and to put it into passion for purpose into the future. This is His whole plan for us. Why? So that we can come to a point where we're making a difference in life. 2 Corinthians says this means, in 5 and 17, that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. So you've become a new person, and so we have to figure out how to walk in that new personship. The old life is gone, and a new life has become. And so we have to go through this process of transformation and embrace that process. So let's talk a little bit about introducing Jesus. Introducing Jesus. Because if we've gone astray or we haven't yet declared Christ as our Lord and Savior, our next step is to get to know this real Jesus. Who is He really? Not who some have shown me to be, not who some have judged me to be or guilted me to be, scolded me to be, whatever the scenario, who is Jesus? And you have to discover Him for you on your own, and you need some example of how to live that life out. The next step, if you have come to know Jesus, is baptism, is water baptism. You need to make a public declaration. You need to understand that Jesus is not the last step. He's the best step. However, there are many next steps in this journey with Christ. 1 Peter 3 and 21 says that, by the way, is what baptism pictures for us. In baptism, we show that we have been saved from death and doom by the resurrection. So when we get baptized, we are literally showing the world, no, my heart is being cleansed. I am saved from this death into eternal life, and I want the whole world to know it. It's like Buddy the Elf. I'm in love, and I want everybody to know it. I don't care who knows it. Be Buddy to the Elf for Jesus. Come on. Next, there. Let's see here. Come on. And then first, and it says, not because our bodies are washed clean by the water, but because in being baptized, we are turning to God and asking Him to cleanse our hearts from this sin. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I don't have to deal with that. I don't have to live in sin and try to walk in Jesus. But this is very important, this next step I'm going to tell you about. But just in case you didn't hear it, our March baptism is on our anniversary, all right? It is on our anniversary. Get signed up for that. But in order to walk in this thing called Christ in this way, we have to find freedom. We have to find freedom from our yesterdays. We have to understand what it means to find freedom. We have to understand that Jesus has set us free. Now we are just trying to figure out how to walk in it. And it's our responsibility to partner with him. That's why Thrive Tribes are starting today, because our strategy, our system for finding freedom is truly getting you into small group community, sharing life, focusing on Christ, how to do life with Christ, sharing with one another, and praying over one another so that we can biblically grow as a family in a church setting. And so it's finding freedom. So Thrive Tribes, they begin today. Today, you can go. We want you to go outside, get to know some of the tribe leaders. Hey, test the chili, because we're having a chili cook-off. Judge us. This is the day where you get to judge us. And one day, the one day of the year, you get to judge us. And so go and judge well. Sam, judge well. Judge well. So James 5:16 tells us, therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another. This is the only way we're really going to find healing. We get forgiveness from confessing to God. We get healing from confessing and praying for one another. And some too many people are walking around unhealed because they're unwilling to confess to a brother or sister in Christ and ask them to pray for them. God meets us in humility. He shows up when we become humble. And until we become humble, he'll let us walk around in our pride half-stepping. There's no sense in that. There's no need for that. We need people around us that we can trust and that we can open up to and we can ask to pray over my area, this area, pray over this situation for me. All right, also in freedom, we typically have a freedom conference that we do. And literally, that's just an impartation of teaching you tools and giving you application on how to work out those tools. But this year, again, in our conversations this past week, as we are teaching these pastors about freedom and what it means, they were demanding that we bring it to Honduras in October, when we're returning to October as well. And they said, well, listen, we have to have this. Our churches need this. Since COVID, they have realized that they don't have the answer or the solution, but as we were offering an understanding of what we do with freedom, they were unanimously demanding that we bring that to Honduras in October. Now, we're also working with some other guest speakers to come here in January, tentatively in January, to have our next Freedom Conference of 2026. But we all throughout the year, we also have what we call Freedom Sessions, where you can sign up, you can register to have a Freedom Session and sit down one-on-one with an intercessor in the room and allow the Holy Spirit to facilitate conversation to really bring some healing to you. You can find out more about that online. But you have to understand that God has a better plan than what we do. And so when we're talking about, connecting to purpose, there we go, connecting to purpose, which is the step three, introducing Jesus, finding freedom, connecting to purpose, because God has created you on purpose and for purpose. Ephesians 2:10 tells us that. But in Psalms 139, David, King David, in the Old Testament says this, for you created me, you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. So if he's saying this to God, and God has knit him and knows him, then he probably knows you too. So if God knit us in our mother's womb, no matter how we came about, then we're not accident. And if God intervened in any situation, if God intervenes and begins to do the knitting, then he knits with purpose. And he knits with passion. And he knits with vision. And he knits with eternity in mind. Oh, if you don't get this, you will be confused all of your days. And you will always settle for a lie and less than what God which is his best. He has knit you. He says, I praise David. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful, not because of who David is, but because of who God is. He goes, in and of myself, I would probably go astray, and I tend to go astray. But because of you and how you guide me and the relationship and the nearness we get to have, you guide me. This is beautiful. He says, my frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place. when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body all the days ordained for me, meaning pre-planned. From the moment you were knit in your mother's womb, there was already an eternal plan for you. There's already something for you to fulfill that has eternal value, but it requires you to be introduced to Jesus, to connect, to find freedom, to connect to your God-given purpose so that you can really make an eternal difference. He says, all the days, that is God's vision for your life. For your life, for my life, we have to understand that it is his vision for us that we connect to God, our God-given purpose, and we make an eternal difference. He says, all my days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came about. Oh, that's beautiful. That is beautiful. Now I want to skip down to make a difference. We're here to make a difference. Why? That's why we connect to our purpose. To make a difference. Not to just be running around working and working hard and overworking and working in purpose. No, it's to make a difference. Is what I'm doing making a difference? And if not, I need to make a shift so that I can make a difference where God has called me to be, where God has called me. And so, like I said, this week we have made a difference. We have been able to influence a region, because when you influence leaders, you influence regions. Next month, I have been invited because of what we're doing in this house. My pastor from Austin of 13 years ago reached out to me and said, hey, we're going to go on a marketplace vision trip to India at the end of March. Would really love for you to be there. We can't minister Jesus. In fact, we can't even mention his name. Because in this area, in this corridor, we're going through the India area. In this corridor, it's such extreme Hindu and Buddhism that you'll probably be arrested. We'll probably be arrested if we talk about Jesus. I mean, this is exciting. This is great. What are we going to do? We're going to go meet some entrepreneurs who actually are undercover Jesus followers. And we're going to try to hear from heaven with them and see how we can help them continue to cause the gospel to flourish in these areas of extremism. To me, this is exciting. This is what I wake up for. This is called making a difference, connecting to purpose to make an eternal difference. And this is go on and on and on. This is why vision is so important. This year, you're going to start to see some of our guys are already out cutting cedar trees and getting ready to mill them so that we can build a larger common space just outside of our building. One, this is going to do a couple of things. We think this is also going to help increase our traffic for our cafe. We want people to come in and do life throughout the week. Just have meetings, have conversations. We want you to hang out a little bit more. We understand this is our youth building. The atrium's not quite big enough for everybody to come through there. But in the meantime, before our next step, it is a next step towards the right direction. But we're here to serve you guys in that scenario. Some of the other things we're doing is creating and working, going to begin working with people who know what they're doing to develop a campaign, because it's time for us to start raising some funds this year to build our next building. We need to get into our home, and the youth and kids need their home. This is not our home. Like, on earth is not your home. This building is not our home. Our next home will be just outside of this building. We need to make room. With all of these growth opportunities, with all of this generous giving that we're doing nationally, locally, and internationally, which, by the way, we're also starting to coach leadership development with churches in our own town. If they'll take it, we'll give it. Generosity promotes generosity. Scripture tells us that God waters those who water. If we're willing to give away, then God will begin to bring it back. John 15:8 says this. He says, it is my Father's glory that we bear much fruit, showing ourselves to be disciples. This is how we show ourselves to be disciples, by making a difference, by making an eternal difference. Can we go to the next one? I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Some of us aren't walking around with joy because we don't have God's vision in our lives. Or we haven't found his vision for our lives, and so we're not carrying joy. Listen, the more joy, the more vision you get from God, usually the harder life tends to get because of the pain. But somewhere he starts to impart joy because you know you're doing it for a greater purpose and you're willing to endure and persevere through whatever it takes. The sacrifices don't matter. It's the joy that's set before you that you endure the time in between. This is the model of Jesus. So I want to reintroduce you to our giving page so you understand how it works. This QR code right here, we try to make it as user-friendly for you as possible. Obviously, you can always give in the black boxes, the big standing one right as you go towards the cafe. There's little black boxes positioned throughout the building. But we have QR codes as well. This heart for the kingdom, these are our kingdom advancement, the vision advancement. We like to say, God gives us vision, but you get to decide how fast it moves. You get to decide how fast it moves. You know how? Because you use QR codes and you say, God, I'm trusting you in this vision and I want to give to the vision of this house that you're putting on this house, and you've called me to be a part of this house. You brought me to this house so that I can be ministered to. And Lord, I want to put in towards the vision of that house. You see how that works? That's how it works. Come on, somebody. Come here. And I'm willing to endure whatever pains it requires to get us there. Some of us need to start doing that in our houses, in our homes, and understanding God's lordship and sacrifices so that we can be positioned for him to bless us. It overflows into our church world, our friends, our relationships. In areas now we're positioned to be able to give freely as the Holy Spirit prompts us. You know, he blesses good stewardship and biblical practices. This is how God blesses us. And so in the heart for the kingdom, these are the kingdom vision items that help move us forward. That's what helped us to do all the things that we talked about early. Our Next Gen, our Thrive School of Supernatural Ministry, our Thrive Leadership School, our cafe to the point where it's been, the international reach that we've had. That giving through Heart for the Kingdom has allowed for that. Now it's time for us to start planning for our next building and everything that it will have to serve our house and our people. Tithes online. Tithes is the first 10% of all of your increase. Whatever you make, first 10% goes back to the Lord. It's a returning of what he has provided because it all belongs to him. So I'm out of discipline and obedience to the Lord, lordship, I am returning the tithe. So many are not receiving the blessings of the Lord because you're not returning the tithe back to the Lord. There's something inside that says, I want you to be Lord, but I don't know if I can trust you to be Lord. And that's what the tithe does. It says, I trust you to be my provider. I trust you to be my provider. And even when I'm going through difficult times, I'm tithing because I am not my own provider. You are my provider. Are you following me? This is how we have to get to grow in the Lord. We have Cash App. We have Make It Easy for you. We have Venmo. These options are to make your giving easier so that we can lower the threshold so that you can truly walk in the fullness and the blessings that God, by his word, listen, this is his word. And if we can't trust God at his word, then what are we doing? What are we doing if we can't trust him at his word? And so we've got to give him a chance to move. We've got to give him an opportunity to show up. We've got to show faith. And he responds to faith, to humility, to honor, and to obedience. He responds in those arenas. In fact, that's where he shows up. He says this. He says, hey, come on, work with me. A generous people, a generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. We can't prosper without being generous. We cannot. But all the things that we've been doing to the level we've been able to do it has been very generous, which says there will be prospering coming. Therefore, vision says we need to get ready for the prospering that's coming based on the response from heaven towards our generosity. Come on. This is how we follow the Lord. This is how we understand the Lord. We've got to get to the place where we understand how the Lord works. We've got to build testimony with the Lord. That means we've got to do some things differently. We've got to give him a position to respond, so we have to position ourselves to watch him move. This is what vision does. This is the stuff that should drive us. This is the stuff that causes us to go to work on Monday whenever we're so tired and exhausted from the weekend. This is the stuff that says, I can't wait to get my paycheck so I can make an eternal difference. This is the stuff. And our three lanes of impact right now are Thrive Projects, which is the common space, the next building that we'll be talking about, our next generation, which is blowing up, is very important for us, because if we're not pouring into the next generation, we're missing the future in general. And then our missions. Our missions has just been on point. And right now, I'm telling you, the fire has been lit on our international missions, and it's starting right here again in our national, and our city and our national. So things are heating up. They're lighting up. We have to get ready. We need to answer, respond to God, watch God, and give him another opportunity to respond back to our faith and our obedience. Come on, somebody. Let's just pray. Come on. Let's stand up. We're going to have a good day. Hey, listen, two things I want you to judge out there, the chili and the decoration setup. Lord, we just thank you so much for vision. I pray for every person in this house to catch your vision, to carry your vision. Father, I pray for everyone to have a specific vision of yours in their hearts and their families. Father, I pray for transformation, the true metamorphosis to take place. I pray that people start to test you now in the faithful things that you'll respond to. But Lord, we pray for protection. We pray for wisdom. We pray for a supernatural ability to understand things beyond our knowledge. In Jesus' mighty name, can I get a good amen?